Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And in today's episode, I want to talk about mobile technology, cell phones or mobile phones, depending on which part of the world you're in. Now, as you're probably aware if you follow the channel, as soon as Russia invaded Ukraine on the 24th of February, most Western companies came out and denounced the invasion and said that they wanted to cut their ties with Russia and that they were exiting. But the telco companies that provide the hardware and the software to keep Russia's mobile phone infrastructure running were provided with exemptions on humanitarian grounds. But those exemptions come to an end on the 31st of December 2022. So in today's episode, we'll have a look at what companies are pulling out of Russia and what the impact of that is likely to be on the mobile telephone systems within the country. We'll then look at mobile phone usage. What percentage of people are actually using their phones to go on the internet these days to do things like banking, shopping, business Zoom calls, all of those sort of things that could have a really big impact on the Russian economy. We'll then go on to talk about YouTube, because as you know, we all love YouTube, and the YouTube statistics in Russia are really quite interesting. And then we'll go on to talk about the impact of this on Russian business, the Russian economy, and what the potential long-term implications are for Russia. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content. Please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you don't have time to watch the whole thing, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you would like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube super thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and Amazon shopping links. And once again, I'd like to say thank you so much to everyone that has supported the channel. I really, really appreciate it. Telecom gear manufacturers Nokia and Ericsson have both announced that they will be fully exiting from Russia on the 31st of December 2022. These two companies provide around 50% of all of the base stations in Russia, along with a variety of other essential equipment from telecom antenna to the hardware that connects optical fiber carrying digital signals. They also provide critical software that enables different parts of the network to function together. Ericsson's finance chief Carl Malander stated, "We are working towards the end of the year. That's when all of the exemptions from sanctions expire." And Nokia CEO Pekka Lundmark stated, "Our exit will be complete. We are not going to deliver anything to Russia." The severing of ties by foreign firms is expected by industry sources to set Russian communications back by a generation as the world forges ahead with deploying 5G technology. Leonard Konik, who runs an IT publication, Comnews, in Moscow, stated, "If this situation lasts for years, Russian cellular networks, in terms of coverage, may return to the late 1990s, when their coverage was limited to large cities and the richest suburbs." He said rural areas will start breaking down first as operators remove equipment to bolster urban networks, while a lack of software updates may lead to network outages or expose them to cyber attacks. Chinese telecom equipment maker Huawei, the biggest vendor in Russia last year with more than a third of the market, will continue to provide software updates and continue maintenance work, but has stopped selling new equipment in Russia. The biggest hurdle for mobile operators to keep their networks running will be the lack of software upgrades. Nokia and Ericsson said they would cut off software updates by next year. Software unifies a range of equipment that makes up a telecom network, converts analog and digital signals, monitors and optimizes network traffic, and protects infrastructure against cyber attacks. While mobile operators can hoard hardware for future use, they are reliant on a regular schedule of licensed software updates and patches to maintain the integrity of a network. Unquestionably, software patches are paramount to ensure networks remain operational, safe, secure, and reliable, said Paolo Pescatori, an analyst at PP Foresight. Russian telecom operators stockpiled foreign-made parts in February and March ahead of sanctions, but inventory will drop after Nokia and Ericsson pull the plug on the 31st of December. Russia's digital ministry said that Russia does not have shortages of telecom equipment, and the withdrawal of Nokia and Ericsson will not have an impact on the quality of communications. Government programs to promote Russian equipment have helped telecom operators become less reliant on Nokia and Ericsson over the past several years, and Russian producers have increased their market share this year to 25% from 11.6% in 2021. Now, before we go on any further today, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterworks. The S&P 500 has just wrapped its worst year since the 2008 financial crisis, and Bank of America is warning that we could see a flatline in results next year at best, which means a return of 0%. But alongside traditional markets, Bank of America has recently reviewed an asset class that is still soaring, which they say could represent an attractive hedge against inflation. Now, some viewers of the channel have already invested, and since the last time I talked about Masterworks back in April of 2022, there has been some serious returns. Masterworks acquires paintings like Picasso's and turns legendary art into actual investment for a fraction of the full price. And alongside Bank of America's analysis, Goldman Sachs specifically states that fine art can protect your purchasing power even in the face of rising prices. Now, when I was first approached by Masterworks, I had no idea that art could be a financial investment. But since I last worked with them, they have sold 5 paintings, and the last 3 sales provided returns of 10.4%, 35%, and 13.9% to the investors, all within the last 60 days. Now, it goes without saying that I'm not providing you with investment advice, and you need to do your own research before making any investment. But Masterworks now has over 600,000 investors, and some of the art that they've acquired has sold out within an hour. However, by clicking on the link in the description below, your account will be given priority status, meaning that you can secure a portion of a work of art. So if you're interested, please click on the link below. Now, this table shows the top 10 countries for mobile phone usage across the world. And you can see by far the largest country is India with 467 million users, followed by the USA with 247 million. Indonesia is third with 139 million. Brazil is fourth with 138 million. And Russia is number 5 with 106 million. So this really shows the importance of mobile phone technology and good systems for Russia. And this table shows the projected mobile phone usage in Russia out to 2025. And you can see that there is a projected increase in numbers to around 115 million people by 2025. So clearly the withdrawal of Nokia and Ericsson is going to have a big impact on the mobile communication system within Russia, along with Huawei's decision not to sell any more hardware. So let's have a look at how important mobile communication is in today's economy. This chart shows the percentage of website traffic from mobile phones between 2012 and 2022. And what this shows is that since 2017, more than 50% of all website traffic has come from mobile phones. And 2022 represents the highest year of usage, with around 60% of all website traffic coming from smartphones. Now, in terms of what people are actually using their smartphone to do on the internet, this chart shows the most popular activities. And you can see that the single most popular activity is game playing, followed by listening to music, using social media, such as YouTube, watching video, TV or film, paying for something that you've bought online, access your bank account, ordering products, ordering food, using the device for work purposes, sending money to friends, using Google Pay or Apple Pay, reading a magazine or a newspaper, use a medical or fitness service, book a taxi or controlling a smart device. Now, the reason I wanted to highlight this is that the vast majority of all of these activities involve some form of business. Somebody is making money from all of these activities. If you're playing a game, then that will involve some form of revenue, even if it's a free game, because there'll be advertising on that game whilst you're playing it, or you may make in-app purchases or something along those lines. So the businesses that are providing those games will be earning revenue. Similarly, if you're listening to music, it tends to be through Spotify or some other sort of service where you will pay a monthly subscription. There is a lot of money being made out of social media, whether it be through advertising or subscriptions or product placement. The same with watching TV or film. A lot of those services are subscription or pay on demand. Obviously, if you're buying things online or using your bank or ordering products or food or using it for work or sending money to friends, all of these things are generating revenue for one company or another. And that's the important thing here that we want to get into in this video, is that if Russia sees a fall in its communication network and therefore it can't handle as much volume of traffic, then that is potentially going to mean a reduction in revenue for all of the companies that are providing digital services and selling things online. And therefore, this will have a big impact on the Russian economy. And focusing specifically on e-commerce in Russia, this chart shows the increase in e-commerce between 2018 and 2022, and the projected future increase in 2023 and 2024. And what this shows is that the level of e-commerce has increased from around 1.3 trillion rubles back in 2018 to around 4.4 trillion today. So that equates to around $73 billion. But the rate of e-commerce is forecast to increase significantly over the next 2 years and hit 7.2 trillion by 2024. And as you just saw from the graphs that we've been through, around 60% of all website traffic is currently coming from mobile devices, but those percentages are increasing year on year. It's far more convenient and straightforward to use your mobile phone apps to do e-commerce these days, and it's becoming more and more popular as mobile phone technology improves. So having good telecommunication systems and networks is absolutely essential for this future growth to be achieved. Now, obviously, YouTube usage and viewing is close to all of our hearts, and I thought it was worth looking at where Russia ranks in the global charts. This chart shows the number of hours per month that YouTube users are viewing YouTube via their mobile app. Now, this data does relate back to January 2022, but it's the most recent that I can find. And you can see that the country that spends the most time watching YouTube on its mobile app is South Korea, with an average of 39.9 hours per month. So that's obviously more than an hour per day. The second highest figure of 29.6 hours is for India. And Russia comes in at number three with 27.1 hours per month. Indonesia's number four at 26.4. Brazil's number five at 23.3. Mexico six at 22.8. The USA seven, 22.2. Singapore eight at 20.8. Turkey nine, 18.5. And Australia 10 at 17.1. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I think we're all becoming more and more reliant on mobile infrastructure, on working from home, on being able to just use your smartphone for doing virtually anything these days, whether it's online shopping, checking your bank accounts, sending money to people, or doing business calls. And I think one of the lasting impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic and all of the lockdowns that we experienced was that everybody became more and more comfortable using online video conferencing. So whether that be Zoom or Microsoft Teams or Google Meet, doesn't really matter. They're all the same function. All you need to do is click on the app. You can then join a meeting from anywhere that you are in the world. And mobile technology enables you to be able to do that. It's absolutely fantastic. And it's revolutionized working life for many people around the world. And this is helping the globe to become more interconnected, because you can hire people who may live in a different continent to you. It doesn't really matter, because you can talk to them frequently, easily, and it's just as good as getting round the table and having a chat. So that's been one of the benefits that we've had over the last couple of years from the COVID pandemic. But if you don't have a good mobile communication network, then that will bring all of that tumbling down, because there's nothing worse than doing a meeting with somebody if you've got poor internet connection. If you can't hear what they're saying, or you're constantly having to stop and say, "I'm sorry that I missed that," because you broke up, then it just kills that stone dead. If we lost the power of the internet and being able to connect remotely, then we would all have to go back to the old way of working. And that's the risk that Russia is facing right now. If their mobile communication network goes backwards, if they can't keep pace with technology, if they can't keep it up and running, then that means that people will lose faith in that whole system and they'll have to go back to a different way of operating. And that is a major risk that Russia's facing right now, because the exit of Nokia and Ericsson and Huawei is going to leave them stranded in terms of future technology, future software, patches and updates. And that means that they will then run the risk of having failures in that system, and that will then cause a breakdown in communication, quite literally. But in addition to online communication and networking, you've also got the problems for e-commerce businesses, because e-commerce assumes that everybody can access things instantly via apps. And the vast majority of us are doing that via our mobile phones, our smartphones. It's so much more convenient. If you're watching TV, or if you're traveling, if you're on a bus or a train, you can log on to the internet, you can do some shopping, you can pick up your groceries, you can pay some bills, you can do absolutely everything. So it's really convenient in terms of filling that dead time that you would normally spend just sitting looking out of the window. But if the mobile communication network is not able to be able to handle that traffic, then that means that you won't be able to do any of those functions. And therefore, all of the businesses that would be picking up all of that trade, all of that additional business that they're getting from you while you're bored and wanting something to do, is lost forever. And that means that the growth of e-commerce in Russia will be affected, and therefore the overall economy will see a downturn because the world is moving more and more digital. We all assume that we can do things electronically. We don't have to go to stores anymore. We don't have to meet people in person. We can do things remotely. But if your network is not able to cope with that demand and it can't handle that traffic, then that means that people won't be able to do that. And therefore, Russia could be at the risk of going backwards here. As the rest of the world moves forwards and becomes more joined up from an electronic point of view, Russia could find itself going back to the 1990s and having people to queue up and wait and get in person to meet people, to do things, to buy things, to do deals, rather than doing it from their smartphones. So once again here, we're seeing a knock-on impact of Russia's invasion of Ukraine onto the Russian economy. And because they don't have their own technology within the country, they've been relying on other countries to provide that over the course of the last 20 years or so. They simply won't be able to keep up with the rest of the world. And that's going to put Russia backwards in terms of their own development. So it's not just about oil and gas and all of the other big picture things that we've been talking about on a day-to-day level. For the individuals, the people living in Russia, this is going to reduce the quality of their lifestyles because everybody's getting used to being able to use their phones 24/7. Wherever you are, you can just log on and do things that you want to do, whether that be for entertainment or business or commerce. It doesn't really matter. But if those networks go down and they can't cope with that level of traffic, then that means people won't be able to do any of that, and that will reduce the quality of their lives. So we've got a double whammy. We've got a reduction in revenues for all of the e-commerce businesses, and we've also got a reduction in the quality of life for all of Russian individuals. So hopefully you found today's episode thought-provoking, useful and informative. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.